It didn't end at Pearl Harbor. It began. It didn't end on 9/11. It began. And here and now, you arrogant and ignorant, evil and foolish, traitors and enemies, you have awakened the American giant and filled us with terrible resolve. Freedom is never given. It is earned. It is fought for. It is taken. So take it. Rome lit streets with burning Christians by the hundreds. Now it's the Catholic capital. Aztecs sliced out still beating hearts by the thousands, but the free tribes are still here. Nazis skinned Jews to make lampshades, but synagogues still stand. Tribal Africans were sold in slave ships. Now their ancestors captain the American fleet. Modern women murder their own unborn, but each year they kill less. Today, the Nahash still sizzles in the electronic branches, and the dragon wars on the lady's genetic seed. But the Didache for apprentice Christians opens with, there are two ways, the way of life and the way of death, and they are vastly different. The way is hard. The path is straight. The journey long. But those who were last will be first, and the Savior's secret is succinct. The more vulnerable we become, the more invincible God makes us. Conceived and raped, orphaned and adopted, claimed by Christians, initiated by indigenous, tribally trained, martial arts mastered. PSYOPs and special forces serve. Decades of duty in DEA and DIA. Intelligence inducted. Yeshua saved. Deep state betrayed. Dedicated to Republic rescue, American exceptionalism, and redemption by God's grace. I'm Jeff Prather, and this is the Prather Brief. So this week I'm talking about preparatory positions for handgun. That means drawing, then coming, if someone's close to you, to a collapsed low ready or Sewell or close ready. You can approach somebody really quickly, really closely, without muzzling them at all. The typical one people do is a low ready. That's fine. There's also a low guard just at the feet. But there is also a high guard and a high ready for going through crowds. And just like there is a collapsed low ready, there is a collapsed high ready. And these are something you use more inside a car, but these are things you want to be able to understand and move from high guard, high ready, close high ready, collapsed low ready, low guard. And of course, when you would come up horizontally is when your finger would go on the trigger. And you can do here from turret fire to broken isosceles to locked isosceles. So there are three segments for all of those things, from low, middle, to high. And the changing of hands becomes important so that you can then access the weapon. Also do the same thing from the ground. That's why you might want to take a look at my handgun martial arts manual of arms in the jeffreyprather.com shop. I go over all this prone, kneeling, and standing as well. So there's my HMAC DVD, which is now available on video at jeffreyprather.com in the shop. I'm still teaching video classes online as well, and I'll probably do a combat in the coming collapse shortly thereafter. But you can get on patreon.com, sign up at the Point Patriot level or the Cywar level for resources, or the $5 basic level, or jeffreyprather.locals.com as well. But again, that video is available at jeffreyprather.com/shop. It's important because as the deep state gets more desperate, they get more dangerous and they get more kinetic. And a handgun is great because it's always on you. And speaking of that, I have a special guest, but before I get there, I wanted to make sure I get this out immediately. On Saturday over the weekend, there was a guy arrested at an RFK presidential event. Remember that Pedo Joe and Joe's Pedos will not give RFK Secret Service protection. And there was a clearly fed false flagger with a U.S. Marshals badge, and looks like with an NYPD badge or a Pinkerton badge, armed at one of his events. And let me tell you what this is about. But first, take a look at this clip.
Here shows LAPD officers taking Adrian Espero into custody at the Wilshire Ebel Theater. The 44-year-old was booked on a felony gun charge and held on $35,000 bail. He was arrested yesterday afternoon, accused of pretending to be U.S. Marshal and claiming he was part of Kennedy's security team. Police say Espero didn't threaten or hurt anyone. Kennedy's father was assassinated at the old Ambassador Hotel in 1968, just a few miles away from that theater.
So he's got a U.S. looks like a U.S. Marshal's badge around his neck, looks like an NYPD badge on his hip, and then some kind of federal ID. But notice that he's still got magazines on him as they are cuffing him up. And of course, this Nathan Hendershot says, since when do police not disarm somebody when they are arresting them? Well, when it's a false flag event. He's got mags on him. I can tell you I've made hundreds, probably thousands of arrests, all felony arrests of lots of guys with guns. And we certainly take their guns and their shoulder holsters and their magazines, their shoes and their belts as well. So this is clearly staged. And where have we seen this before? Well, take a look at this other photo from a while back at the Patriot Front of arrest false flag event. So this guy is cuffed up from behind and the guys are all geared up, but look what he's wearing. He's got his backpack on, he's got his Camelback on, he's got his IFAC on, and his hands are cuffed behind his back. So what would be happening there is, well, it'd be very clear that you could get in there and get your cuff key. Any cop carries a cuff key back there, we all do. There's even, for example, Victos tactical pants make little pouches back there for cuff keys, because this is another staged event. So that's the point here. And what is this really about? Well, this is going to be probably a 2-for-1. Of course, I'm never advocating anything illegal, moral, unethical, or violent, although the left does continually blatantly and openly. Remember Michael Byrd, the Black Lives Matter Capitol Police special agent assassin who sniped Ashley Byrd and killed her, the white Air Force veteran on January 6th, murdered her, is getting promoted for the murder, because this is the way of death and slavery. There are two ways, the way of life and the way of death, and they are vastly different, as I said in my opening. But they are going to do this because with Biden denying, or Pedo Joe rather, and Joe's Pedos denying RFK Secret Service protection when everybody else gets it all the time. And of course, he's had two family members assassinated by the CIA. This is a 2-for-1 because they can try and assassinate RFK and then blame it on Trump. And so they eliminate all the competition, which is more election interference from the deep state. That's how I see this. This is why I'm taking time out to show this, because it happened over the weekend. I wanted to show you a TikTok film of this guy in his garage. And there's somebody holding the camera and he's talking about check my name out in Gematria, which is the numerical equivalent of Hebrew alphabets. And he's saying that he's with Trump and everything. And this is clearly another setup. Very clearly, although he doesn't really know what he's doing. His boots are not dirty. His holster's too low. Looks like a movie or a general wearing his thigh holster low as well. But that's what this looks like here. I don't think we're able to show that TikTok clip. But it is up on my Patreon. It is up on my local. So if you want to see it, it's pretty interesting to watch. This is clearly a setup for more election interference and going to eliminate the competition in one fell swoop, two birds with one stone, get RFK and blame it on Trump. That looks like the plan here. And that's why I'm taking time out before I have my special guest on to tell you this. And meanwhile, then at the same time, there was a pistol protester at a Biden event. Just to make sure it looks good, take a look at this. So armed man lawfully protests outside Joe Biden's Delaware house. Okay, Delaware, this is deep state territory. Nothing goes on. Why is this guy allowed to do this here? Well, because he is part of the setup. And so they're saying, well, look, it happened over here. So now it's happening over here. This is the classic controlled opposition that they are running. Remember I showed you a while back the tranny in the Trump hat arguing with the lesbian lefty, and she was actually running him. There were no friendly folks on there at all. So that's really what this is about here. And one other quick thing I want to hit is it looks like Tim Ballard is going to replace Mitt Romney. Both are LDS. Lots of problems with LDS, not conventional Christians, but you know, everybody does what they want. But LDS is really saturated in the CIA and FBI. And I've shown you those problems before. I didn't really mention it a lot when I was promoting Sound of Freedom. Paul Hutchinson doesn't want to mention it, but there's lots of problems with Ballard and LDS and the money schemes. But look at what's happening. As Mitch isn't going to run, look what happens and steps up here.
We now know Mitt Romney is not going to run again. You live in Utah.
Yeah.
There's a seat that's going to be open.
Well, that's the very seat that I was asked to look at weeks ago. And I was very seriously considering it then.
And how about now? And this now, is a lot easier.
I'll be honest, even more so, I'm very, very serious.
What gets you in?
My wife and prayer and just making sure.
So she says yes, when you go home, you're in.
That's how it's always worked in the past.
So while I totally support his previous work, totally support Sound of Freedom, have done a bit of child rescue myself, I did put up on my Patreon Locals a while back the problems of Ballard's money schemes with the LDS Church. That turned out to be true. Didn't really mention it, but this starts to look again like election interference, like it is being controlled. And Romney is probably then going to make a presidential run. But I wanted to get that out because I want you to be able to track that. And if I get it out, then maybe it stops happening. I was just told that my satellite clip with Steve Favis was in InfoWars, so that's force multiplying the message. So those are the really important stories to get out there. There's other stuff happening, but I really want to have on my special guest. He is, like me, an Army major, although he's out now, but he's the only doctor who was on active duty to oppose the bioweapons. And for his heroic stand, of course, he's had to pay the price. So thanks for waiting. Welcome, Dr. former Major Sam Sigaloff.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's weird to not do my little disclaimer, but there was a few other docs who were fighting. Just, I believe I was the only one who gave out medical exemptions for the COVID shot.
Sorry about that. Sorry. And we have a lot in common. Because you're down at, you were at Huachuca, and I spent a lot of time at Huachuca because I was an MI guy and you were an O4. But you corrected me before the show. You said I'm not a 04 because you didn't get your retirement, I guess. Is that the deal?
Yes, sir. 11 years of service, and then I'm going to hopefully never put the uniform on again.
That is a loss to the Army. So walk us through you've been on my show before, but you haven't been on my Pray to Brief on AMP before. So walk us through your stand, your very heroic stand, because there were a couple of other docs. I know Doc Pete Chambers, but he ended up taking the shot, you know, and he was an SF surgeon. You didn't take the shot, you wrote exemptions, you stood up to that, and now you're paying the price. So walk us through that story.
Yes, sir. And again, thank you so much for having me on. And if anybody's interested in joining me in my fight, go to Give Send Go and look up Sigaloff, and you'll find a place where you can help give. So it started back in when the Secretary of Defense gave the order that all service members must either get a FDA-approved vaccine or volunteer to take one. I started issuing on August 28th, 2021. I started issuing medical exemptions for service members. Now, the basis of that exemption was the three lipid nanoparticles in Comirnaty, the only one that was allegedly approved at the time. Those three lipid nanoparticles, per their safety data sheets, which OSHA requires you to publish wherever you at your place of business, those three data sheets all said that they're not valid for human use, and one of them even said not even for veterinary use. And that was immediately not liked by the powers that be, and they put me into summary suspension by September 13th. So less than a month away, just really a couple weeks, I was put into summary suspension. And for the remaining 2 years that I was in the military, I did not see another patient because I was in summary suspension the entire time. And then that exemption blossomed into an affidavit that was in Robert v. Austin. I later became a named plaintiff in Coker v. Austin, which recently was dismissed. And then at a future date, it wasn't until October of 22, I entered a lawsuit against the Secretary of Defense, Austin, for all the whistleblower protection violations against me and due process violations.
Wow. And so nobody else picked this up, that these lipid nanoparticles were not certified? None of the other docs? Because I've had, I don't know Dr. Vliet, Dr. Ruby, Dr. Orient, Dr. Chambers. Were you it?
As far as I know. And what's really interesting about these lipid nanoparticles is when you dig into this deeper, and I encourage your listeners to go check out my podcast After Hours with Dr. Sigaloff, and episode number 33, I use public source documentation to show you that the lipid nanoparticles are a bioweapon. And what I do is I walk you through the documentation. I have all these Pfizer documents that were released through FOIA, the Freedom of Information, thanks to Judicial Watch. And there's this redaction code that's used quite a bit. It's called B4 or Bravo 4. And if you look at what that redaction code means, is if that were to be exposed, it would inhibit the application of a state-of-the-art U.S. weapons system.
Wow. Wow. I don't recall us talking about that before. And so how does that tie into the emergency order via the military for the bioweapon?
And so, yeah, so when in that episode 33, if you go back, and I put this out about a year ago, and if you look at it, this was a revelation to me as well when I was digging into this while I was suspended, is to be able to have the declaration of an emergency, you must first have certain things be met. They say there's four of them in the Federal Register, but really there's only three. And also in all the military documents, there's only three. And what those criteria are is there must be a chemical, biologic, nuclear, or
you can. Oh, you're freezing up.
Citizens on foot. Or. Am I back yet? Let me know when I'm back. Am I back? Okay, I'll start it.
Back. I think they're interdicting you.
Let me see if I can switch to my
hotspot. Wow, we went through this before the show trying to make sure we could get Sam on, and now he's freezing up yet again. I'm fairly sure that they are interfering with this because Fort Huachuca is a DIA center, and there's lots of signals, intelligence and counterintelligence and jamming there. Oh, there you are. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Okay, so I don't know how much you caught, but it's chemical, biologic, radiologic, or nuclear agents used against U.S. citizens on U.S. soil, U.S. citizens on foreign soil, or against the military. So for you to be able to make a declaration of an emergency so that you can then have the moniker of emergency use authorization, you first must have one of those agents, a chemical, biologic, radiologic, or nuclear agent used against U.S. citizens or the military. So the very fact that they use that EUA means by definition that we were at war and did not know it.
That's amazing. And so who are we at war with then, according to the declaration? Because my wonderful friends at AMP, including John, are saying the military is in charge and everything's going to be okay. It's not really the China virus. It comes out of DARPA and BARDA and Fort Detrick, correct? So it's really our military, your and I's military, who is doing this.
Right. And the idea of these, now this may or may not be true, of these white hats that are in charge, I don't feel like they're in charge. I was in the military. I never saw any white hats that were in charge of anything. And I feel like that's a great way to get people to call calmly go to sleep as the slaughter. You and I are the white hats, the people who are fighting against this destruction of humanity. Now, if you look into this deeper, it makes you wonder, well, it was done in China, but was it done by our people? So who is really the enemy? Is it even the governments? Or is there something deeper than that that's running this entire thing?
Well, I think it's satanic and demonic, run by global cabal. I've talked about that in detail, just like I was putting out about the Chinese satellites over the Maui fires, but probably the military, our military, is on that, just like they have been in on the bioweapons here as well. But yeah, you're right. I don't see any white hats. We're the white hats. And the military is not this singular entity that they like. Usually the people who refer to that have not been in the military. But, you know, I've been in the military for like 25 years. You're in for 11 years. And so then you contacted me a while back because you wanted to come on, because they're still coming after you, even though you're out and you are so explain that, of how your I think it's your previous duty station was bringing charges against you. Do I have
yes,
that
sir.
Right?
So, yes, sir. And again, if anybody wants to help me in this fight, go to Gibson Go, look up Sigaloff, and it's Sigaloff v. Austin, and you'll learn how to help me in my fight. But what happened after I had PCS'd, and as a doctor, when you're at one duty station, you have what they call privileges to practice at that duty station. And then when you PCS or do a permanent change of station and go to the next duty station, you withdraw those privileges and you apply for new privileges at your new duty station. And after I had been at Fort Huachuca for 9 months, my last duty station, Fort Wainwright, they want to start an investigation into me. And this is after I was a whistleblower against my commander. This is after I was a whistleblower in reference to the Defense Military Epidemiologic Database. And they started this investigation. And there are certain things that they must do. They must, by regulation, they are required to reach out to my current duty station, tell them of the problem. And then my current duty station goes and says, okay, do we want to investigate this or do we not? And when they make the decision to investigate, then the previous duty station can go in and begin the investigation. They did none of that. They didn't do it appropriately. They started the investigation. They suspended me when I was already suspended. You can't suspend someone who's already suspended. And you can't suspend someone when you don't have anything to suspend. It would be akin to me living in Texas, have a Texas driver's license, moving to Arizona, and then after I don't a license, driver's license, then Texas says, oh, we're gonna give you a non-moving violation on your license that you don't have. You can't do that.
And the very fact that it's between duty stations shows that this is upper level management of the military doing this, and your medical branch. So this was done through the military medical branch of the Army, which then goes up to the Department of Defense, which I guess then goes up to Joint Chiefs or but that's clearly what's happening. And so that's still going on, and that's really what you're concerned about now, because where is that case at now, and how is that going to affect you?
The issue with that case is if it goes and they do suspend me, then they can put in this complaint into this thing called the National Practitioner Data Bank. And what that can actually do is that can affect me in the civilian world, is if I have enough complaints in there or certain types of complaints, I may not be able to get paid from insurances in the civilian world.
So you're asking people to write, besides go to your GiveSendGo, you're asking people to write letters, aren't you? Where is that supposed to go?
Yes, sir. So the letters that I'm asking people to write, and go check out my podcast, and it's one of the most recent videos. I think it's the second most recent video up. I give the place of where to send it, so the commander that's in charge. And when I did that, I realized that everything they were doing was illegal and unauthorized at the time. But write that commander of the hospital who should have no dog in this fight, as he was not there when this investigation was started. He just inherited this. He's already received quite a few letters from listeners of mine, but if your listeners can also encourage him to do the right thing, to uphold his oath, to give me due process and a speedy trial, and actually just follow the law and the regulation, and he's not allowed to do the investigation as he has started it, and he can't go back and restart it because it's been too long. I've been gone. No one's been critically injured. There are people that have died from doctors mistreating people, and I have never done any of that. I've never even had a patient complaint into my license ever.
Yeah, this is real familiar to me because they came after me, and there was no plaintiff. There was nobody. There was no complainant because there was no complaint. But they come after you anyway. But we'll talk more about DMEDs and Target. I think I saw that you're on with Targeted Justice now, but we've got to take a quick break. But hang on, we'll be right back with my special guest, a very heroic former Army major and military doctor, Sam Sigloff. This is Jeff Prather on the Prather Brief, right back with you after this.
Banks are supposed to be the safest placeholders for cash in the world. But in 2022, that changed. The Federal Reserve pulled out $2.5 trillion of liquidity out of the banks. And the Fed also changed the requirements so banks don't need to keep any funds on hand. This means banks are starved for liquidity and have now become very dangerous places to hold your assets. Get out of the system with the world's safest and most private assets, silver and gold. Call Kirk Elliott, Ph.D. at 720-605-3900. Get more out of your AMP News experience with AMP Insider. With seven pillars of focused information, including off-grid living, get prepared with food prep and essentials, must-have items and basics, and preparedness, protection, and hunting. Support the mission of AMP with a subscription for $9.95 per month. Get the first month for $1 by using promo code AMP888.
Welcome to a new era of connecting patriots, AMP Insider.
My employees and I are excited to announce it's our 20th anniversary. And to celebrate, we're bringing you a limited edition MyPillow. The Giza Elegance MyPillow is made with the most amazing cotton, 2-inch pipe gusset, comes in 4 custom loft levels, and it's machine washable and dryable.
When I got MyPillow, I'm asleep almost immediately. I stay asleep at night and I wake up more well-rested in the morning.
My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned. That's why we've been around for 20 years, because MyPillow works.
Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get your limited edition 20th anniversary MyPillow queen size. Retails for $69.98, now only $19.98. That's right, only $19.98.
With my 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Welcome back. Jeff Prather on the Prather Brief with my very special guest, former Army major and Army doc, Dr. Sam Sigloff, who made a heroic single stand against the bioweapons and is now paying the price for that. Doc Sam, I wanted you to flesh out DMEDS. You mentioned DMEDS, which is a much more precise database than VAERS, as I understand it. And then after that, did I see you go on with Truth for Health or Targeted Justice or both? I don't recall. I'll let you take both of those in the order that you wish.
Okay, I have been working with Truth for Health. I've been on their military advisory board. Unfortunately, haven't been able to get some of the meetings recently, but with them, and they also gave me a $10,000 grant legal issues. And the reason I keep pushing the legal issue so much is I've spent over $120,000 of my personal money in this fight to protect and also prevent the chilling effect of happening to other military physicians. And again, check out my Give Send Go at Sigloff. Just search Sigloff, G-O-L-O-F-F, in the Give Send Go. Now, about the Defense Military Epidemiologic Database. So it was probably around January of 22, I received a phone call from Lieutenant Colonel and Dr. Teresa Long. And she said, Sigloff, open up your computer, open up this database. Something is wrong. I must be doing something wrong. And so she gave me the search criteria and I went in there and we were finding things like 1,000% increase in blood pressure duty service members. We were seeing issues like 300% increase in testicular cancer, 400% increase in deep vein thrombosis and pulmonary embolisms, and just these insane numbers going up. And the way this database works is it takes all of the medical information that we put into our military medical chart system, the electronic medical record. It takes away all the private information and then puts all of the aggregated medical information in there so that you can search for specific diagnoses. And the whole point of this database is to be the forward-facing eyes of the medical system so that if they see burn or a chemical, radiologic, biologic, or nuclear threat against the troops. We can see that. We can see it in the aggregation, and we can go, okay, well, everybody's getting testicular cancer. That rate is increased 300%. There should be something. We need to take a knee. We need to figure this out. And so we brought that information forward. We went to Thomas Wren's lawyer, and he went to Washington, D.C., and he spoke at Senator Ron Johnson's second roundtable meeting, and he brought this information forward. That prompted Senator Ron Johnson to write a letter to the Secretary of Defense and said, these are the issues we're seeing. I am charging you to answer these certain questions as to why this is happening, and you are charged to protect this data and not change any of it. Well, about a week later, all of that information was taken down and it was republished, and every number was changed.
So it was sabotage. So as a military intelligence guy and a DIA guy and a DEA guy, you know, I keep telling everybody this was espionage. These high-level positions were infiltrated via espionage and then interdicted via sabotage. That's exactly what you're describing, is it not?
I think it's even worse than that, because if, let's say you have a platoon of, you know, 30 guys, and they send their scouts over a crest of a hill to go look down in the valley to see what's down there. And the scout comes back and says, it's fine, don't worry about it. There's no one down there. And in reality, there's 200,000 enemy troops. What would you call that scout? And he saw them. He just decided to lie.
He's a traitor.
Words like traitor would be, exactly. And if it takes more than one person to do this treacherous, to take a database down and replace all of the information, we would call that conspiracy to commit treason.
And I've had others on the show. I have a brave doctor, or not doctor, but dad up in Canada, whose dad is a Cree Indian that was trafficked and raped. And he's talked a lot about treason as well. And you're exactly right, but it's across the board. All these inflection points have been infiltrated, and the military is clearly not in charge. And if it is in charge, then they are responsible for, it looks like, 6 million deaths. I've seen the estimates from the bioweapons in the United States, and 20 million worldwide, and up to a billion vaccine injured, although it's not a vaccine by any means. Are you seeing those same numbers?
I don't like to get in the numbers specifically because I'm afraid someone will tear me apart in the comments because, oh, he said 300, not 301%. But yes, it's disastrous. It is truly disastrous what's happening. And the DMED data has now been corrected. And actually, when Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Long was on the stand testifying about these things, the DOD gave her a piece of paper that looked like it was made, you know, the night before, and it showed about a 3% increase in testicular cancer. And they were showing, oh, well, these are the new numbers. There's only a 3% increase. And think about that for a minute. If you have only a 3% increase in testicular cancer, that's a significant increase in a mostly male force. That is a lot of people.
It is, and the military used to be in good shape. They had to be. Now it's a fat farm. But in our day, it was everyone was in shape. I've got to get Teresa on here. I haven't had her after the show. Please email me, connect me with her. I've had on most of the heroic doctors, but right now you're working through some of the tribes, aren't you? That's a workaround for you. It's good for you and it's good for the tribes. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the issue with the tribes is it's great. Like, I was able to be given a medical license to practice there very quickly. The legal infrastructure is not quite developed as much as it needs to be for that to be fully functional. But we're talking on a Monday, and just this past Friday, I was given my Arizona license. I had to write a summary to kind of outline everything that's happened to me over the past 3 years. And then that very same day, they were able to grant me a medical license.
So one of my Team America headquarters docs, Dr. Joey Leed, lots of times guys start off working on the reservations. You may have worked at the Arizona, Pima, Telena Aldam Health Clinic up there in Tucson. There's lots of reservations. So hopefully that's a way for you to kind of become a country doc and make the rounds. And of course, Dr. Vliet is in Tucson. Doc Joe is in Yuma. Is that the plan to stay in Arizona and be kind of a country doc or what?
Yes, sir. So the plan is to stay here in Arizona. We love Sierra Vista area. And one of my passions is helping these people that have been damaged by these shots, not vaccines, but these shots. And I went to the FLCC conference and learned some of the techniques and the ways to treat how people have been harmed. And that is one area that I truly want to help people in the most.
Yeah, we have a jab rescue kit from Doc Will, who is my naturopath on the Team America headquarters database. And, you know, we've got people there, and Truth for Health's got lots of folks in Sierra Vista as well. So that's really something you should, I hope that you will pursue, and that will work out for you, despite what they're trying to do to you. But again, if this charge gets put on the military data, or not the doctor, the medical, is it a military or a medical database?
It's a medical database run by the government.
But that would affect your tribal status as well?
No, sir. It shouldn't affect that. But it could affect how I could be paid by insurances in the state arena.
Well, I had Dr. Vliet on a while back, and I was like, so we should all have concierge docs. You're like, no, not concierge doc, just country doc, just docs where they go around and have their patients. And I'm actually meeting with her on Friday and Todd Callender as well. So I guess you're with the right folks to figure all that out. So I wanted to ask you, though, about where you see the origins of this, because I think President Trump, the rightful president, is still saying the China virus, but really RFK has put it much more clearly when Nixon tried to remove the bioweapons from Fort Detrick. The CIA came in, Gottlieb was working for, I think, DARPA back then, and they grabbed them. And the result, all these decades later, is DARPA, BARDA, EARPA, the Intelligence Advanced Research Project Agency, and the bioweapons are all over the place now. But it really is not the China virus, as I understand it. It's the Fort Detrick, Harvard via Lieber, Canada, to Wuhan, maybe military games. It looks like a conspiracy between at least the Chinese military and the American military as well. What are your thoughts on that?
Precisely. I think you're on track. I think that if the listeners or the viewer go back and check out the book called Poisoner in Chief, it talks about Stanley Gottlieb and what horrible things he's done, and just had a free license to do whatever he wanted in the government. Also check out Plum Island, and that's about Lab 257 and the parasite research they did off the coast of New York, which is why that there is why there's Lyme disease that's endemic throughout the entire eastern seaboard now. And you have to look at these things, and anybody's doing their own research, look into veterinarians. Veterinarians are much more free to do this type of research. And this is what you can uncover in Lab 257, the Plum Island book. And because it shows that when you have doctors doing this research, there are certain ethical boards that they have to go through. Veterinarians do not have that restrictions on them. And so they're able to do this research a lot more under the guise of other information. I think if you look into this a lot more and you look at the bioweapon being the lipid nanoparticle, and you take into account that there's graphene oxide in these shots, and you take into account all these different things, and then you go and you do the research yourself. I don't want anybody to take my word for it, but go into the U.S. Patent Office and type in human augmentation and take a look at what you find. And there's ways to actually send signal into humans and send signal out of humans, so to where you can actually project a voice or a vision in front of their eyesight, to where it looks like they're looking on a screen, but it's not. They don't have to have Google goggles to be able to see things in front of what you're looking at. You can just have it projected inside of your brain as if you had the goggles on. You can send messages out of the human brain and send messages into the human brain. And so it begins to meld this man and machine, and it makes you wonder, where is the original source of this coming from? Is it government, or is it something else even bigger?
Yeah, I think it's satanic. And I think if you look at scripture, this is the beginning of the Antichrist. I think the AI is part of that, not God. You know, the Christ is God and man, and the Antichrist is not God and not man. The genetic modifications are what the dragon wars on the sea, just like before. I think that's the source very clearly of all of this. But are the lipid nanoparticles in themselves bioweapons, or are they vectors for bioweapons?
That's a wonderful question, because those redacted areas, sometimes it's a lipid nanoparticle name. Other times it looks like it could be something that could be inside of it. But the way that these are designed, and there was a patent from 2017 that DSPC and DSPE, they're two different lipid nanoparticles, and they're specifically designed to get through the blood-brain barrier.
And so have you seen that the World Health Organization has just signed new licensing agreements for COVID-19 technologies? And I just published this. And what I'm saying is the corporate COVID cartels are now becoming a conglomerate. And they're doing this through Medigen Vaccine Biologics, through the Spanish National Research Council, and the University of Chile. I used to do a lot of work in Chile. That sounds really bad. And in case you don't know, NIH is building a building or renting an entire building in Phoenix. So to me, it looks like having been a DEA agent for 19 years and the cartels come in and take over everything, it's now the corporate cartels becoming a conglomerate across the board. Have you seen that? Any comments on that?
No comments on that. I haven't stumbled across that yet. That sounds like it's a bad combination of things, though.
Yeah, well, along with the illegals and dropers coming across and the guns and drugs and children being trafficked, I think this is going on along there, too. So I also wanted to delve into the hemorrhagic fever or ultrasonically inducing hemorrhage because the ability to through ultrasound, remote ultrasound cavitation or microbubble formation and collapse. This looks to me like the next level of the bioweapon because it's a layered weapons system. The first thing was the PSYOP to get everybody, there was no virus, that was the PSYOP, then get everybody to take the bioweapon, then take the boosters for control, and then activate the 5G, and we're seeing the results of that. But I'm trying to understand now this ultrasonically induced hemorrhagic fever with ultrasound and microbubbles, or am I? I'm kind of struggling to understand that. Can you help me?
But yeah, this is just I haven't run across this yet, but it makes sense that if you vibrate something enough, it will cause it to, just like if you remember Galloping Gertie, the bridge that was rocking around. You rock something enough, you get it at the right frequency, it'll just burst apart. And same with your cells. Now, the concern about the 5G, I've heard about this, that the lipid nanoparticles are a vector, like you had mentioned earlier. And if they hit targets, and one of the targets is suspected to be 5G at a certain frequency, at a certain hertz, for a certain exposure time, so like three bursts of 1 minute each, and it causes those lipid nanoparticles to crack open, releasing their contents. And some of those are suspected to be dangerous contents that would cause either immediate death or possibly some sort of disease that looks like hemorrhagic fever.
Does that tie into the Marburg scare coming back up? Does that, because I had Pete Chambers on a while back, and we clearly showed that there was a false flag in a New York subway. We showed a lady who was first on the subway and then in various positions, and it didn't really take, because Sasha Latipova, who I've had on many times too, says it's very difficult for a deadly virus to spread because it's got to be released over and over, because if it kills the host off so fast, it can't go anywhere. Plus, there is no virus. But does that tie in with the Marburg next bioweapon, or is that just a PSYOP, or what are your thoughts on that?
It would be speculation, any comments either way, but you make a really good point, is that if it's a virus, right, there's lots of evidence out there that viruses aren't what we think they are. They're a toxin, and that's exactly what the word virus means, is toxin that our body reacts to. It's not this communicable thing that we think it is. It may be actually something completely different. And ways to protect yourself for this, so that you don't have to live in fear, is eat right. eat real food. If it's processed, if it has seed and nut oils in it, if it has, you know, all these bad oils in it, don't eat it. Eat real food. I'm a huge proponent of the carnivore diet, but if you don't want to eat just meat, fine. Eat things that you grow, eat things that you know where they're grown, eat things that aren't sprayed with pesticides. learn how to, what to have in your house, what little medical packs you can have in your house to treat yourself if you need ivermectin, if you need hydroxychloroquine. I did an episode, and this is for educational purposes only. This is not for treatment of yourself, because in the United States, if you recommend this particular thing as treatment, you could be arrested by the FDA. Again, for educational purposes, go check out my episode 79. I have a pediatric orthopedic surgeon come on from Mexico and talk about chlorine dioxide and how that can help with, as he says, helps with different conditions. I certainly don't know if it could or not, because the FDA would take my license and I don't need that that danger right now. But it's something that you need to learn about and find out if it's right for you.
Yeah, we've been using ivermectin forever because we got horses, and my wife has made a variant, I guess, of hydroxychloroquine. And, look at all that. In fact, I've got a thoracic surgeon on my Team America headquarters that has talked a lot about the carnivore diet and the Plains Tribes diet of just eating meat. We've got to take another break, but this is a fascinating and important conversation. Stay with us. This is Jeff Prather on the Prather Brief with my very special guest, Dr. Sam Sigaloff. Right back with you after this.
Hi, this is Sean Morgan with an AMP Consumer Report. You know, most small businesses are actually owned by conservatives, and most small businesses accept credit cards and debit cards. But who is their credit card processor? Is it a woke corporation that could debank them? Well, Jesse Siegel of Card Solutions is here to explain what he does and why he's better than a big corporation.
Thanks, Sean. So what I do is I eliminate a business's credit card processing expenses by using our dual pricing program that can be utilized with any of our software and hardware solutions.
That's great. So my understanding is you do the point of sale and you also do the merchant Correct. Services. So you do it all under one umbrella. Can you explain that?
So if you're a restaurant, you're going to need a point of sale system to track your inventory and to keep track of your employees. And so I provide that. And if you're just a regular retail business, I can provide small devices as well.
Okay, great. And also what I understand is people can call you practically 24/7, and these other corporations, they can maybe wait on the phone.
Correct. So a lot of sales reps are jumping into this business. They sign you up and they forget about you. My customers can reach me 7 days a week. I'm very responsive.
That's great to know. And you know, we have a link below and we also have your phone number. So if people can get a hold of you, then they will be able to get a free consultation. Thanks for explaining, Jesse, and we'll see you in the next AMP Consumer Report.
Genocide Jab by John Michael Chambers is now an Amazon number one bestseller. If you've not yet read this critically important book that exposes uncomfortable truths, you should get your copy now. Or bundle with The World Awakens Volume 1 and 2 and get a 20% discount at ampnews.us.
Stay informed at ampnews.us. Making Sense of the Madness with Jason Burmis, exposing the technocratic agenda. Unrestricted Truths with James Grundvig's research on the deep state and narrative warfare. Counter Narrative with Christy Lee, interviewing the power players who are revolutionizing the truth movement. About George with Gene Ho, a show about a new magazine for a new era of truth. Subscribe to our Rumble channel and watch these daily shows live on ampnews.us.
Jeff Prather on the Prather Brief with my special guest, Dr. Sam Sigaloff, a former military doctor that made a heroic stand against the bioweapons and is still paying the price for that. Doc Sam, I was noticing there was a story I just republished on my Patreon Locals that talks about a 36-year-old Belgium woman who was euthanized because she was diagnosed with terminal cancer at 36. And so that immediately rang a bell with me with the turbo cancer that seems to be coming out as part of the symptoms of the bioweapons. And I was wondering if you could talk about your hypothesis of the turbo cancer, the cancers that are just, you talked about testicular cancer before, but in particular, it looks like cancers are bursting forth. It looks like the reason is because they can then begin to euthanize people, because they euthanized this woman, but the drugs didn't work. So they put a pillow over her head while her family was outside the room and they could hear her screaming. So this looks more like mass murder yet again to me, but I don't really understand the turbo cancer stuff as well. Any thoughts on that?
Well, that's awful. That's terrible. Now, I mean, trying to use this Asia thing, but then just resorting to put a pillow over someone's face. My goodness. You know, we know in Canada they've increased the availability of doctor assisted murder, is as I like to call it, because it doesn't matter where you are in your life. If it's not God's time for you to go, and you go early because of what a doctor did for you, even if you wanted it, or did for your to your child, even if you wanted it, that's still murder. And so this cancer idea, I had a conversation with Dr. Lee Merritt a while back, and it's in one of my episodes where we talk about parasites. And there's this idea or this thought that many parasites cause cancer. Most cancers are actually parasites instead of what we think is cancer. And we can see that in some of the research now, as while we were all locked in our homes in, you know, 2020, there's a research paper that came out that talked about using ivermectin to help with colorectal cancer. And it kind of opens up this whole new world that what if parasites are the cause of cancer? Well, then we can treat them more easily. And Dr. Lee Merritt also talks about how she knows a pathologist who looked at slides of cancer under a microscope and looked at slides of parasites under a microscope, and they looked very similar. And that's why we see it with some cancers and parasitic medications, like ivermectin and the colorectal cancer. I know a man who used chloride. His name is Todd Callender. He's an attorney. He was on one of my episodes, and he talked about how he had bladder cancer, and he used chlorine dioxide to get rid of his bladder cancer.
Yeah, Todd and I are friends, along with Dr. Vliet, and I know Dr. Merritt as well. Great doctor, and very enthusiastic. And we've been exploring that quite a bit. There's ancient naturopathy or homeopathy is much older than Western allopathy, which is now totally corrupted as far as everyone's concerned. So we're really looking a lot at that. But I saw a naturopath do amazing things, with bowls of cut onions and milk, taking a young girl out of a coma. But if that's the case, then that kind of destroys the whole corporate cartel of all the cancer drugs. And I work in biotech competitive intelligence, and it's a huge industry, and they expect to get sued, but they're always coming out with more stuff that is almost extraneous, if not totally useless. So I'm glad to see you're embracing naturopathy and homeopathy, if I'm saying that right. Is that something you're going to add to your medical knowledge base or practice or anything like that?
To the extent I can. Again, remember, chlorine dioxide, I cannot recommend as a treatment for anyone. Just you should go learn about it and see if it's right for you. That does remind me of something. I was driving around post maybe a month or two ago, and there was three companies, and I can send you pictures of their billboards later, that have to do with AI. And one of them even had as their symbol, they had two neurons, and in between was a cloud, and then a bunch of binary numbers. And so it makes you wonder, what is this human brain connection that I alluded to earlier, and how deep does it actually go?
Well, this is the transhumanist agenda, the reset versus the resistance. It's the pedos versus the parents. It's the satanic versus the godly, you know, as far as I'm concerned. And really, I think the army is by DARPA, BARDA, and EARPA are really behind this with cyber soldiers or super cyber soldiers or whatever modification, which goes back to the Nazi, you know, superior men kind of thing, is how I see it, because we are now supporting the Nazis as the Ukrainian Nazis shut down churches and kill babies and traffic children. Our military is all behind that and all in on that. That's how I see it. I don't know if you see it like that.
I see it very similar. Yes, sir.
You're just a little more less blunt than I am, I guess, although you have certainly made a very heroic stand about that. What about the new Eris or the new wave of bioweapons to be used against us? What do you project or see coming?
Well, I think in the name they picked Eris, because I believe it means chaos, and so it's the god of chaos or something of that nature. So, I mean, you've said this, and I'm going to repeat it, is this is an unseen, you know, this is the battle in the unseen realm. This is, but it's not unseen anymore. We can see it. It's in, the battle is in full force right in front of our face, as long as you have eyes that can see and ears that can hear. And so the biggest thing is don't give in to fear. When you give in to fear, you're more likely to become ill because your immune system gets knocked down. Know what you can do to help yourself. Eat right, eat clean, exercise. You know, do the things to make your life better. Try to limit your exposure to EMF, electromagnetic frequency. You know, don't have the watch, the smart watch, and the smart stuff that goes, you know, the Bluetooth that goes on your head. And, you know, just don't have all of that stuff. You don't need all that stuff. We survived without that stuff 10 years ago, 5 years ago, we survived without it.
Yeah, so he's quoting scripture there, folks, and quoting The Unseen Realm, which is a great book. My wife and I love that. It really puts everything into perspective to source the symptoms of all this evil, to understand that well. And of course, we do a lot of Faraday bags. My daughter, she's 13. She finally got a smartphone, but she's got to have a Faraday bag between her and the phone, so it's not next to them. I don't know if you saw, but France just outlawed an Apple 11, I think, phone because the radiation is so, we're being irradiated so heavily. So before we wrap up, please tell everybody again how they can follow you and support you and where to go again.
Yeah, if you want to help me join this, you know, join this fight with me, go to GiveSendGo. Sigaloff, that's S-E-O-L-O-F-F. You'll find Sigaloff v. Austin. And consider, you know, monitor. Please give us prayers. If you want to check out more of my podcast, go to After Hours with Dr. Sigaloff on Rumble, on iTunes, on Spotify, anywhere you can get your podcasts.
And what happened with the dismissal of the Austin case? Would you say it was dismissed or what?
Yes, sir. That's Todd Callender's case. The Robert v. Austin has been dismissed. Brandon Johnson's case that I'm a plaintiff in, it's v. Austin, been dismissed. There's been some new insight in, was it after the, I think it's FDA, and some good information came out about ivermectin and how doctors have always been able to use ivermectin. Well, of course, we always knew that. We just had to have some brave doctors sue to get that information. But hopefully that opens the doors for other doctors to sue various agencies in relation to ivermectin.
Well, I just saw where, even though a circuit court of appeals ruled against the FDA, they did not take back their false FDA, or their false ivermectin pharmakia sorcery. Speaking, the great men of the world were fooled by their pharmakia, by their sorcery. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I am glad you are standing strong and you're on my old territory there in Sierra Vista and Huachuca. Hang in there. We'll keep you in our prayers. And please stay in touch and send me all that stuff. And I'll have Dr. Merritt back on. I want to get Dr. Long on and whatever we can do to help you. We've got plenty of folks down there in that area. So thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. And together we can all make courage more contagious than fear.
Awesome. Awesome. So that is the very heroic Dr. Sam Sigaloff, former Army major like me, although he was he's out now after 11 years and he needs your help and your prayers. So please support him. So remember, we're not always winning, but we can win and we will win. And winning is difficult, demanding, and always expensive. Tyrants always fall. Tyranny always fails. Graphene is not in our DNA, but freedom is. But freedom is never given. It is earned, won, fought for, and taken. So take it.